go to the next verse, which is more pointers. Swami Chinmayananda describes them as pointers, as different guide marks, different markers, where he has given us quite a few additional markers about who I am. And the idea is that in meditation, one should can contemplate upon these pointers. So verse number 18, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrita Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Gati. He says, Gati, I am the goal. I am the goal and I am the path. Jesus in the Bible beautifully says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So I am all three. So I am not only the Gati, is not only the path, but I am also the goal. So they say spirituality is the goal and spirituality is the path. So to know him, you have to go on the path. The second meaning of he is the goal and the path is that as I go on that direction, even though I have not reached that highest goal of spirituality, of self-realization, but as I start progressing on this path, I will experience a vague feeling of peace and joy and calmness. Those who are on the spiritual path, and when they sit and meditate or when they sit and pray or when they learn about him, their mind gets filled with the same divine qualities. And even though you have not reached that path, but at least you are on that path, and as you are progressing, you feel yourself more peaceful, more joyful, more happy, more, you know, relaxed, more calm, and more in touch, not only with your true self, but in touch with the whole universe. Because I see that my Lord, even though I have not reached that highest state of Buddha or Jesus or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda, but I have at least progressed, just as I am climbing up the mountain. You have not reached the summit, but even if you have reached halfway, you look around and see, oh my God, the scene is so beautiful. I can see the valley, I can see the beautiful plants and all. And how much more beautiful would be the scene at the top? So as I progress, I feel, first of all, a sense of accomplishment. Oh, at least I'm halfway up the mountain, even though I've not reached the top. And also I start enjoying the climb. I start enjoying, and then I feel the air is fresh. Everything is so much nicer. So as I evolve in spirituality, I slowly, slowly get those divine qualities. That's why he says, I am the Gati, I am the path, I am the goal. And the same thing Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. So I am the path and I am the goal. Then he says, Bharta, I am the supporter. What do we mean by supporter? The best example Swamiji in his commentary gives, like a mirage. You know, you're driving in the desert and it's very hot and you are sweaty and you are thirsty. And then you see in the distance, you know, what looks like a lake. And because your mind is so heated up and you run out of water and you see a lake and you say, oh my God, water is there. And you drive closer and you find it was just a mirage, because my mind created a lake because of my delusion, because I was so thirsty, a person walking or going in the camel. So that delusion of the mirage, where did it appear? It appeared on the sand. There really was no mirage, but it appeared on the sand, and the sand was the substratum. So similarly, they say this world is a delusion, is an appearance. Even though the world is, at this moment, looks real to us, but underneath, everything is the Lord himself. That's why they say everything is the Lord. The air, space, fire, water, earth, electricity, everything is him. But I don't see him. Why? Because we have superimposed. We have placed this world upon that substratum. But when you go underneath it, you find that everything is him alone. That's why they say, Kan Kan Me Bhagwan. You know, in every cell of my being, God is there. If he's there in everything, then I am nothing but that one consciousness. So that understanding comes, but you still see, okay, the world is a variety. There are different people, there are different animals and birds and plants and fish, different flowers and all that. You see the variety, you enjoy everything. And you deal with different variety of people. Each individual, like even in this room, every individual is so different from any other individual. The mind is different, the thoughts are different, the fingerprints are different. But underneath everybody is that one divine Lord. And that understanding these Mahatmas and great saints have. For you and me, we still see the differences. You know, I like this person, I don't like her, she's my friend, this is my enemy. This belongs to my religion, this belongs to my state, this speaks my language. You know, we still see the differences, but a wise person sees that. Why? Because he says there is one Bharta, there is one supporter. Then he says Prabhu. Prabhu means the Lord. Lord does not mean the one that, you know, bosses over the whole universe and, you know, has thrown me here and is, you know, punishing me and making me suffer. No, he is the Lord in the sense that he is the energy because of whom everything functions. Like electricity is the Lord of all the appliances, whether it's a fan, whether it's a heater, whether it's an air conditioner, whether it's light. The Lord is the electricity. Without electricity, none of them would work. So similarly, without this consciousness, my body, mind and intellect will be useless. The reason I'm able to talk at this moment is because he's there as my life. The reason all of you are able to listen, because he's there. So he is the Lord. He is the illumining factor. Then it says Sakshi. Sakshi means witness. Now, what is a witness? Say in the court, you know, they call somebody as a witness and they say, did you see that murder committed? He said, yes, Your Honor, I was standing in my window of my house and I saw that man, you know, shoot the other man. But the witness is not involved. See, if he was involved and a part of that shooting, he won't be called as a witness. Because then he is involved, then he has some personal interest. But I was standing on my window, I had no interest, and I saw this man shoot the other man. And therefore, I can testify that he... So a witness is uninvolved. Uninvolved. So similarly, the Lord or the consciousness is not really involved in all the activities of the world. The activities are going on in his presence, but he or she, God of course is the energy, so you don't call him he or she, but it is the consciousness. That's why in our scriptures they call Lord as Brahman, as the consciousness. So that consciousness is not really involved, like the gasoline. Now the gasoline in the car gives energy to the car. Now, whether you take the car to church or the temple, or whether you take it to a house of prostitution, or you take it to a bar, or you, wherever you take the car, the gasoline is not involved. The gasoline says, I give you the energy. Now, whether you take it to a good place or a bad place, or you get drunk and kill somebody, the gasoline is not affected, is not involved. So the Lord is the, like the gasoline, like the energy. Sakshi. Sakshi, like the sun. Now the sun is necessary for life to function, right? The sun's energy is there. If the sun's energy was not there, this world would become cold and we would all die. But is the sun involved in the activities of the world? No, the sun says, I just provide the energy. And in my presence, the, you know, water evaporates and the rain falls and the plants grow and the humans. But the sun is not affected. You can get up in the morning and praise the sun. Oh, you know, Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tatra Vidurvaranyam. You know, all that. You might praise the Lord, Lord Sun, or you might curse. Why is this stupid sun came out? And, you know, I wanted to sleep longer, but my, you know, it comes in from the east and my window comes and I wake up. You could either curse the sun or worship the sun. But the sun says, I am not affected. I continue to give you energy, whether you praise me, you criticize me, whether you love me or you worship me or you don't. So Lord is the energy like the sun, but uninvolved. Then he says Nivasa. Nivasa means the abode. Just as water is the abode of all the fish. The moment you take a fish out of the water, you know, it starts suffering and, you know, crying and then it dies. So fish can only live and dance and play and be happy as long as it is in the water. When you take it out of the water, it suffers. So the human being is living in this ocean of God consciousness. Whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we admit it or not, whether we thank Him or not, or worship Him or not, He continues to give us the energy to live. And He is the abode. In Him I am living. In another place in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, just as in space, the air is there, and air can never go beyond space. No matter how fast the hurricane blows or the tornado blows, it can only stay in space. Air cannot say, I'm going to go beyond space. No, space extends for millions of miles. Air only extends for 7 miles. So similarly, this consciousness extends for millions of miles. My reach is only what? 5 feet, 6 feet, and maybe 100 miles or 200 miles. But He is my abode. Then He says, He is the Sharanam. He is the refuge. What is a refuge? A place where you find shelter, like a boat. You know, it is out in the storm and water is falling and the storm is coming. And the captain says, let's quickly get into the harbor, otherwise the boat will sink. So they quickly turn around and go to the nearest harbor where they can find safety and shelter and refuge. And when the storm is over, then the boat can again continue its journey, the ship can. So similarly, as long as we are in the world of the ego, of the objects, emotions and thoughts, then we are subjected to the ups and downs of this world. My body one day will be healthy, one day unhealthy. My mind one day will be happy, one day will be unhappy. My intellect, one day I'll be praised, one day I'll be criticized, one day I'll be loved, one day I'll be hated. So I am constantly going through the turmoil of this world of objects, emotions and thoughts. So where do you find refuge? In Him. That's why they say, you know, when a person is suffering and has no other, Swami Chinmayananda says, when he finds no other path, he turns to the Lord and says, oh Lord, you are my refuge, you save me. And He does. It's not that, you know, He's a cold tyrant, you know, who just leaves me to suffer. No, if you turn towards Him in love, He will respond. And that is what the next word is, Suhrita. He is a friend. He's the best friend you can have. Do not think of God as being some tyrant, you know, who sat up, who from there threw me on this world to suffer, and then He's watching me and He's enjoying my suffering and He's throwing all these sorrows at me, and my neighbor doesn't get any sorrows. Why do I get? When I get sorrow, I have to realize that it is my own karmas. It is my own actions because of which I am getting joys and sorrows. But irrespective of what I have done in my past, if I turn towards the Lord, He's like a wonderful friend who is always waiting. It's like He's standing there waiting for me to turn towards Him. But what we do is we spend all our life in objects, emotions and thoughts. And that's all we do, studying, learning, acquiring, getting more wealth, more money, more power, more this, more friends, more. And we forget who is the one that has given me. But the moment you turn towards Him, He's waiting with open arms, you know, come to me and I will accept you. So He is a loving friend. He's not somebody to be afraid of. He's not somebody, yes, one should love Him and respect Him, but love Him, that is the most important thing. And one has to have a relationship of love. And He is always available. Just as I have a good friend, anytime I can call that person, and he or she is available, you know, to talk and to share my sorrows. So the Lord is a Suhrita. He's a loving friend. He's not somebody far away. And by friend, we mean He's approachable. Like, say, now I want to meet the President of the United States, right? You say, oh, President is a great person. But what is a president? He's one country in the world. For 4 years, he became the president, and there have been hundreds of presidents who have come and gone, and it is only, U.S. is only one country. There is Germany, there is England, there is France and Russia and China and India. So he is a head of one country for 4 years out of all these countries, and the one country, the earth is a small part of the whole universe. There might be so many more earths. But if you want to meet the president, you send a letter, I want to meet you. Right away, they say, who is this guy? Why does he want to meet the president? Maybe he's a terrorist. So the FBI will come, the CIA will come, they'll investigate you. And then, what is the reason? Do you have an appointment? So then you have to get an appointment, you have to have a justification, you have to go through the background search, and when you go there, they pat you down. So much hassle you have to go to meet who? He's only the head of one country for 4 years. There are hundreds of such countries and there are hundreds of such universes. And after 4 years, he'll be gone and nobody will even remember him. But we make such a big deal about, I met the president. Or if you meet the senator or the congressman, don't people bring their autographs or bring a picture? See, I have my picture with Hillary Clinton, or I have my picture with Bill Thomas, and people get very happy. But the Lord of the whole universe, he's your friend. You know, he's ready to meet you. He's so much more than any president, any senator, any congressman. And we are so excited when we meet I'm not saying that one should not try to meet the Congress. I'm not belittling them. But compared to that, the Lord of the universe is so much better, so much more powerful. And he's not difficult to meet. FBI is not going to question you if you say, why do you want to meet him? Why do you want to go to church? No, he welcomes you. So that is why they say that he is ever available. You don't need an appointment. You don't need anything. You just turn towards him and he's always available. So that's why this word friend, Suhrita, is a beautiful, because he's there. He's always there as your friend. Then it says, Prabhavav Pralayasthanam. So he is the birth, he is the death, and he is the abode. So the idea is like all the waves. Where do they arise from? They arise in the ocean. They are sustained in the ocean and they merge back into the ocean. So Prabhava is the birth, Pralaya is the dissolution, and Sthanam is the abode, the foundation. Just as the mud is the support of all the mud pots, the gold is the support of all the ornaments, the ocean is the support of all the waves. The waves arise in the ocean, live in the ocean, and perish in the ocean. So the Lord says, I am the creator. I am the creator. I am the sustainer. I am the destroyer. That's why in our Hinduism, we have three forms, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So Brahmaji is the creator. Vishnu takes care of us. And then Mahesh, Shiva, is the one that takes us when it is time to leave. And they are all to be worshipped. They all have a role to play. So that's why the Lord says, I am the creator, I am the sustainer, and then I am the destroyer. Because the old has to give way to the new. You know, you cannot say, well, I should live forever. You know, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, nobody ever died. The dinosaurs never died. You know, earth would be too crowded. So there is a purpose. One has to, you know, that's why when it comes old, he says, okay, now it's time for me to leave. Let other people. So that's why he says, I am the Prabhava Pralaya Sthanam Nidhanam. I am the treasure house. Ultimately, the world's only treasure, the highest treasure, is to reach him, to realize him. And that's what all the scriptures say, that once you know him, there is no greater treasure. But you have to put effort. You cannot say, oh, God is in me, so I'm already realized. No, you have to put the effort. We are the owner of this tremendous wealth of inner peace and joy and happiness and the ability to achieve anything. You know, that's why these great saints, you know, they, even years after they are gone, people remember them and worship them. And they have changed the life of millions of people. You know, how many Christians are benefiting from what Christ has said? How many Buddhists are benefiting from what Buddha has said? How many Hindus are benefiting from what is in the Vedas and what Shankaracharya? How many Chinmaya Mission members are benefiting from this commentary, you know, that Swami Chinmayananda has written on the Bhagavad Gita? Thousands and thousands of people. So this great warehouse strength of knowledge is there, but all we have to do is go in and claim it. Claim it, you know, that this is your knowledge. And through service, through love for him, through the right knowledge, you can acquire that knowledge. So it does not come very easy, but some amount of effort is required. But again, it doesn't require going anywhere. You know, people say, in the year 2022, I'm going to realize. Or, you know, I'm living in the States, but when I go to Mount Kailash in India, then I will realize. Or when I go to Bethlehem, or when I go to Mecca. Yeah, these places of pilgrimage are very good, but ultimately he is within you. He is with you at all times. All times he is there as the inner wealth. So turn your attention towards him and put the required amount of effort so you can reach him. You can know him, and he is the treasure house of all the joys, all the happiness, everything. You don't need happiness from outside because he is there. Then it says, last word is bijam avyayam. He is the immutable seed. Because the seed, as we know, we have talked about, when the seed, the plant is born from the seed dies. The seed no longer exists as a seed, and the plant comes out and makes the tree. But he is the immutable seed, that seed which never dies, which never perishes. Avyayam also describes the Lord as being the same in all stages. He is there the same. He was there in the past, present, future. He is there constantly. He is there in all the waking, dream, and deep sleep states. The Lord of consciousness is there. So, how do I apply this knowledge? By constantly remembering that I am that consciousness that is unchanging. Even in my childhood, I was there. Even in my youth, I was there. Even in my old age, I am there. And even when I drop this body, I, as the consciousness, as the self, will never die. So, constantly remembering that and practicing that, watching that, I am watching my body deteriorate. I am watching my mind getting happy and unhappy. I am watching my intellect getting praised and criticized. So, be a witness. That's why he says it's a witness. But all the time remember, I am that consciousness that is immutable, that is unchanging. And no matter what happens to my body, I don't die. No matter what happens to my mind. And that's why these great prophets like Jesus and all these great gurus of the Sikh faith, they were persecuted and they were tortured and killed. But they never lost their faith in God because they had understood their oneness, that I am that consciousness. So one has to, not only in meditation, you know, in meditation we always chant, you know, that I am that consciousness, I am not this body, I am not this breath, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, but I am that consciousness. So they say, remember that fact throughout your life. Remember, wherever you are, that I am that consciousness. And the losses and gains of this world do not really affect me. What I gain or what I lose does not affect me because I am that consciousness. Talking about gaining and losing, this teacher was teaching the children math. So she says, if you have $1 and you ask your father for $1, how many you will have? The student says, one. So she says, what do you mean? You have $1 and you ask your father for $1, you'll still have one? You don't know your math. He says, you don't know my father. I'll still have. So in this world of gain and loss, there is a constant factor that is me. So constantly remember that and go through life. We are not saying that, you know, you don't acquire things and possess things. But if something comes, it is the Lord's. And if something goes, it was not meant to be. With that understanding, when you function in the world, then such a person is not deluded, not affected, and remains happy and cheerful no matter what. It's not that the person will stop trying and should not even acquire or accumulate. But your whole life should not be spent in just that. So that is the essence of this shloka. Have some comments or we can talk next week. One should love him as the closest thing to him. He's closer even than my husband, my wife, my child. You know, he's closest thing to me. And that's why we say you are judged by your actions. Your actions determine whatever good or bad happens. It's not he who is sitting there and judging. He has given humans the freedom to choose. And depending on your good and bad actions, you get good and bad results. So he does not judge. That's why it says he is uninvolved. He's a sakshi. He's a witness. In his presence, everything happens, but he himself is not affected by that. Yeah, and which is good, you know, to whatever way you remember him is good. You know, we're not saying that one is right or one is wrong. Whatever way you remember him is good, but the relationship should be of love, not of fear. That is what I at least have understood, and I try to practice that. Because you have to fear your own karmas. You don't have to fear him.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.